Okay, we'll be in chapter 3 of Galatians this morning. Some powerful stuff. Happy stuff. Okay, I'll read it first. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having began in the Spirit, that you now have made you are made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it in by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In you shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereunto. For to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of the promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, when then served the law, it was added because of the transgressions, till the seed should come to of whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels at the hand of a mediator. Now the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For you are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. A lot of good stuff here. Let's go back and start from the beginning. It said, O foolish Galatians. The word for foolish here is unintelligent and sensual, or literally soulish. Talking about people being very soulish. Humanistic would be another good word you could squeeze in on that. He said, O foolish or soulish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And this word bewitched, it means by false representations. And see, that's exactly what the church has done. They didn't go out and say, let's see how we can deceive people. It was very subtle things. I mean, when someone said something, they added a word to it. Well, that word stuck, whether it was in the writing or not. It was their opinion, but they put it in there. and it stuck in people's minds. And the next thing you go, the next guy comes along and says it, and he has a word or two. And after a few thousand years, the words don't even compare to anything that he said hardly. But they've made up a new doctrine, not intentional, but it still happens. And rather than the responsible parties going and seeing if the original writing said that or not, they're just carrying on what Brother So-and-so said. Well, Brother So-and-so could be as honest as the day is long, but he could make a mistake, couldn't he? And it's your responsibility as the hearer to check it out. Like Paul said, be a good Berean, search the scriptures to see if what I say daily, to see if what I say is true. He tells you how to do it. Okay. But anyway, they bewitched you by false representations that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among or in you. Where was he crucified? In me. This only, verse 2, would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit from the works of the law or from the hearing of faith? Which way did you receive it? Did you do something under the law to get it? The law has been done away with for thousands of years.
My ear was open.
That's it. God created an ear in you to hear, and that's how you got it. Verse 3 says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now made perfect by the flesh? The flesh cannot be made perfect. You can make it behave. You can fluff it. You can buff it. You can do anything you want to do to it, but it's still flesh. And the best I can read in this book, Solomon was the wisest man, and he said, when we die, the dust returns to the earth from where it came, and the Spirit returns to God who gave it. That's all. See, so you can't save flesh. There's no flesh and blood's going to enter the kingdom, is it? So why don't we leave it alone and go on and live our lives, do the best we can do, and God will take care of that stuff. In fact, it's already been judged anyway, and I don't have to worry about that. Verse 4, have you suffered so many things without reason? It says in vain, but it should say without reason. Even if it be in vain or without reason. Is there any reason to suffer this stuff for no reason? I mean, come on. If I have to go around this mountain packing a big pack on my back in the sand, which is very difficult to do, there's going to be a purpose for it. If it's not, I'm going to shed it off and go on. Right? So if I'm going through this life, there's a purpose for it. I need to find the purpose of my life. You need to find the purpose of your life. I can't tell you what that purpose is. You've got to find it.
And that's whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yep. What's that? There's a song out like that. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And God's got a purpose for us to overcome these obstacles He's placed in our life. See, not to you, but for you. Okay? You got to understand, God's doing it because He loves you. He said, in Hebrews, He said, He chastises those He loves. He corrects those He loves. Come on. If we understand, see, the negative eye will never see those, will he? Because they're looking for punishment. No, God's not punishing. He's correcting you, getting you back on the right track. You don't correct your children to destroy them, do you? You correct them to put them on the right course. And Father's the same way with us. Don't let people take you the wrong way in this thing. Okay, verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, Paul was taken by himself, I think, right there, does he do it from the works of the law or from the hearing of faith? How could he do those things that he did? Paul did a lot of miracles. Why did he do them? Was it from the works of the law? Then why did he go through all the stuff he had to go through? Paul had to lose that pride, and that was his biggest factor, was pride. Remember when he said he had a thorn in the flesh? And there's all kinds of things. That, well, it was his eyes and all these things like this. But it said, for the abundance of his revelation, he was given a thorn in the flesh by God. And what do you get when you get a lot of information or knowledge? Get proud, you get puffed up, see? So that's what his thing was. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, he was walking the upper crust of the religious folk. And then when he come down here, don't you think some of that followed him down to the level of humility God wanted him to? So he had to have that little reminder all the time, keep him in check. It's all right. God'll take care of it. Don't worry about that. You just got to quit fighting, quit wrestling. Okay, verse 6. Even as, or just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him, into righteousness. Okay, if Abraham became the father or the first Jew by, you know, being the first Jew by believing what God said, how do you think we're going to get there? Pattern. By believing what God said. Not believing there is a God, but believing what God said. He believed what God told him, and that's all it took. Well, then, you mean I don't have to go be dunked three times in the river before noon, or have to have communion every Sunday, or all these things that the church says you have to, you know, have to cut your hair if you're a man, and women can't cut your hair, and you have to dress all these crazy things. See, that doesn't mean anything. If I want to be a child of God, I have to believe what God has told me. So simple. See, so simple. He talked about that in Luke, about woe unto you lawyers. You won't enter in and you hinder the ones that's trying to get in, and you won't touch one of the burdens with your finger. You complicate it. You make it too hard because you can't even get in yourself. You don't want to get in. You want to get their money. That's all you're after. He knew who they were and what they were doing. What did I leave off in 6? It's a 7. Now, know ye not therefore that they which are from faith, the same are the weos of God. The word there for children is weos, the mature sons of God. The ones that are there by faith are the weos of God, the mature sons of God, of Abraham, which is the father. So we're the mature sons of the father when we are by faith. You can't get in there any other way, really. So, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify or render innocent the heathen from out of faith, preached ahead of time or announced the good news in advance to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. How many?
All.
Huh. I mean, nobody be left out, would they?
Well, there's that, in that word I always say, the us and them. He said heathen right there.
Yeah, he said heathen real plain. But under the law, there was a heathen. You know, but now there's not, because we're all one in Christ, aren't we? There's neither Jew nor Greek. Didn't it say at the end of this chapter? It'll say it again when we get there. So then they which are from the faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. So if you are by faith, if you believe what God said, Abraham is no greater than you.
No, he's my brother.
Well, he's my spiritual father, but he is my brother. Just like Jesus. Jesus said, don't worship me, I'm your older brother. See? And people say that's heresy, that compare yourself with God. I'm comparing myself to my older brother. He was the first of many brethren. Come on. So you got to have a little bit of guts to walk this. Okay? Paul said, this is my gospel. How many people said that? See? It takes a little guts. It's okay. That takes a little courage and confidence in who you are and what God has told you. When you believe what God said, you're going to do things most people won't do. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, wouldn't they? Okay. Verse 9. So then, the ones which are from faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. We did that already. I'm sorry. Verse 10. Because as many as are from the works of the law are under the law, are under the curse. Same thing, curse, law. So he said, if you want to be by the works of the law, you're under a curse. How many people would like to be living under the curse today? Sorry, I don't want any part of it. Because it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Let me read you Deuteronomy 27:26. That's way back toward the front. Deuteronomy 27. I'm right there. Close. One more page. There it is. I think that's it. Yep. Okay. Cursed be he that confirms not all the words of the law to do them, and all the people shall say, amen. Now you can back up if you want to read from verse 14 down to 26. It tells you what all the curses are. It's a whole list of curses. But what's the point? We're not under the curse anymore. Right? It's been removed because of what he did for us, not what we did. Okay? Verse 11, but that no man is justified, or literally rendered just or innocent in the law, in the sight of God, it is evident, or it's very clear. Because the just shall live by what?
His faith.
Or from faith, or from Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by his faith. See, it's not my faith, it's the faith of Christ that I live by. Okay? And he says, verse 12, and the law is not from faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. And the word them is not correct. It should be shall live in it. If you do it by faith, you're going to live in faith. If you do it by the law, you're going to live under the law in the curse. Whichever way you go, isn't it right? Verse 13, but here's the good one. Christ has redeemed us. Has, past tense. Redeemed, past tense. Us from the curse of the law. That means there is no more curse. So why are the preachers standing in the pulpit today lined up all over this world condemning everybody and telling them, if you don't do this, you're going to burn in hell. And the curse has been... What does that say? Christ has redeemed us. It's over.
Because they believe that fear equals control.
Well, fear does equal control, and they are very well aware of it. It also computes a lot of money. Being made a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's Deuteronomy 21:23, if you want to read it. I'm not going to drag it out and go back and read all those verses. It's Deuteronomy 21:23. In order that the blessing of Abraham, or the father, cross out the word might right there, and it should say, in order that the blessing of the Father come to you, the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, in order that we, cross out that word might, receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. Okay. That's about as simple as it gets. The blessing of Abraham will come on us through the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, in order that we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Very simple. Not complicated, is it? Unless you got a religious mind which wants to twist everything up. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or hinders or thwarts that covenant. Even if a man makes a covenant, they honor that covenant, or nothing's added to it. Now to Abraham and to his seed are the promises spoken, not made, but spoken. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. One seed is who he spoke to, the seed of Christ. When he spoke it to Abraham, where were we? We were in the loins of Abraham when he spoke to him. And those seed have regenerated and passed down through the generations. So when he spoke to him, guess who else he spoke to? To the ones that he has chosen to be that seed of Abraham. He wasn't talking to the whole world. See, the church wants to say, and even the people that believe in reconciliation, and I truly believe in the reconciliation of all humanity with all my heart. I believe that. But it's not everybody at the same time. You know, every man in his own order as God deems necessary. Not my time. I think it'd be great if we could all just come in together and do it, but it don't work that way. He's doing it another way. And whatever he wants to do, it's cool with me. Where did I leave off there? 17, yeah. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed or established beforehand of God, or from God, or by God, in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul or invalidate that it should make the promise of none effect. So when the law come in effect, the promises have already been given, so that law can't change it, can it? See? The law was by Moses anyway. It wasn't made by God, was it? Who got all them 632 or 618 different laws that they wrote down? God only gave 10 commandments, didn't he? They kind of changed the attitude a little bit. Verse 18, because if the inheritance be from out of the law, it is no more out of promise, but God gave to Abraham through promise. Wherefore then serve the law? They said, then what purpose was the law? It was added because of transgressions, okay, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And the promise was made to what seed?
Christ.
There you go. It was made to Christ. Until that seed came, the law was there just to keep us in check. It's kind of like them white lines they paint down the side of the road, try to keep you inside the lane. Everybody don't stay there. And that's what the law was. If you go outside them lines, you get a penalty. Okay? And God put the law in there to keep us kind of in check until that seed came of Christ. It's in each one of us, but God's the one that gives the increase to bring that thing about. So it's not up to us to worry about it. Let's just do what God told us to do, and it'll come when it's time. Okay. And it says, and it was ordained what? Through what? It was ordained through what?
Messengers.
Messengers. The word agalos is messengers. In the hand of a what? A mediator. Okay. Not a mediator, but the mediator, which was, again, was the Christ. Okay. And it says now in verse 20, now a mediator, that's a reconciler or a go-between. If you have two parties that are separated, a reconciler or a mediator is sitting in the middle and he's listening to both sides and trying to get them to come together to agree. So Father's sitting on one side and we're sitting on the other side and Christ's sitting in the middle. And he's saying, look, come on back over here to the Father. This is your house anyway. He's your Father just like he's my Father. Are you going to believe it or not? Of course, most people don't believe that. So they're going to go try find another way to get back over there, which don't work. But that's what they're going to do. And that's okay because God's got it all under control. If God's not in control, then there is no such thing as control. Okay? So I'm not worried about it. He'll get what he wants. I can't change it, and you can't change it, neither can anybody else. Somebody told me one day, well, what if I decide to take a gun and blow my brains out right now? Right now, what would God do about that? And I said, I don't know. But if you did, I'd say it was God's will that you did it.
Either way.
Okay. He looked at me and said, well, that ain't right. I said, well, yes, it is. How can you convince me that God didn't want you to do it? I don't know. He was just one of those foolish things that discussions they want to get into don't make no sense. So I just gave him some of it back and went on.
It would have misfired and it would have been God's will.
There you go. Well, it might have went in and just ricocheted out. Not got you, see. There's a lot of things, see. So anyway, he wasn't brave enough to try it out. Okay? So verse 21, right? No, 20. I haven't finished 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So just like I said, a mediator is between two, but God is one. It's not saying he's the only God. He's not saying that's all there is. Obviously, we're separated from God in our thinking process, and he's in the middle of us right here in our head, thinking in our thinking process, bringing our thinking process back together with God. So in verse 21 it says, is the law then against the promises of God? It says, God forbid, but what should it really say? May it never be. It's the Greek word genomai. Actually, there's two words, but the basic strong word there is genomai. There's another word that means not. May it never be is what it should say. May it never be, because if there had been a law given that could have given life, or given life, the word should say revitalized. If giving you a law could revitalize you and bring you back to life with God, then what was the point of the cross? He said, verily, or then really, righteousness should have been from the law, shouldn't it? Rather than having someone suffer, if the law could do it. It doesn't make sense. But the scripture has concluded, all under sin. Now, there's verification of that where it says it's all under sin. In 1 Kings 8:46 says all under sin. And Romans 11:32 says it. So you got one from the old, one from the new, and here again. that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, cross out that word might, because it's not in there, be given to them that believe. So the faith of Jesus Christ will be given to them that believe. All's under sin, so give the relief to all. That was the point. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up or kept from the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. Okay? To bring us to Christ, that we, cross out that word might, it shouldn't be there either, that we be justified or rendered innocent from faith. From the faith we have. By believing what God said. Not believing that there's a God. Verse 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster or the law of Moses, is what that really says. The schoolmaster is the law of Moses. Because we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 27. Because as many of you has been baptized or immersed into Christ, have put on Christ. Now, immersed into Christ. Everybody thinks, I got Jesus in me. Well, that's cool, but it'd be better if you was in Him. That's what it's saying here. If you've been baptized into Him, see, into His thinking, it's up here. So, if you've been baptized in Christ, you have put on Christ. If you put something on, if I put a coat on, is it inside or outside? See? It's on the outside, but we need to be on the inside. The coat covers me, right? So we put on Christ, and that covers up all my flaws. So when God looks at me, He don't see my flesh. He don't see them things that I do, that everybody else does. You know, He don't see that. He sees what's in here, what's inside. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, and this is a passage I was talking about a while ago. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, because you are all one in Christ Jesus. See? Well, women ain't supposed to preach. Right, tell the woman to shut up. I'm not talking about a female. I'm talking about my soul. Because the only one supposed to be preaching is the Christ. And that be the male. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed or the father's seed. I'm the seed of God. Do you hear that? See, if you're Abraham's seed, that's the seed of God. And heirs according to the promise. Whatever He promised Abraham, guess what? It's mine. And that's not being arrogant. It's yours. If you're the seed of Abraham, it's yours. Just as much as Abraham got a right to it, you have a right to it. And if you can't see yourself with that confidence, you'll never have it. Remember what the disciples said to Jesus in the Gospels? Said, Lord, when we ever see anyone speak with such boldness? And they said, Lord, increase our boldness. You know, confidence will give you boldness. I have been, by many, many people, my own family included, been told that I was arrogant. You know, but the thing that they don't see is, it's not arrogance, it's confidence. I know what I'm talking about. I heard someone say several occasions, he thinks he knows everything. And someone said back to him, said, well, did what he say to you, was it true? And they said, well, what's that got to do with it? They just didn't want me to be right. If I say something, I'm right, is that being arrogant? I mean, I'm not being arrogant in my attitude. I'm just saying I know what I'm talking about, and I will say confidently what I know. And see, people can't understand that with their carnal mind. Jesus was thought to be arrogant because He knew what He was talking about. And if we know what we're talking about, we're going to be misread. And again, you can't respond to that. It's like water off a duck's back. You got to leave it alone.
Yeah. Am I your enemy for telling you the truth?
That's what he said, wasn't it? Paul said that. Said, if I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? But see, you do become their enemy. They feel like you're the enemy. See? You're not really their enemy. They think you are. It's okay. You know what? He said, if I call you, He'll do what?
Equip
you. So guess what? How can I fail?
It's a setup.
I've been set up to never fail. Okay? No problem.